Hi, Casey.
Hi, Danielle.
How are you? You're looking fresh-faced this morning.
Oh, I'm riding out a blowout from like 19 days ago. It's like in a mold.
You have thick enough hair that like a blowout can, like if I get a blowout the next day, I'm like dripping with hair oil. Like it's not okay.
Oh, no, that's not true. Well, you look beautiful as well.
I've been up since, well, a few times. It's Sydney Bester's birthday today.
Hey, Sydney, episode shout out and dedicated shout to out. Our queen.
The queen of the day and the year.
And the Nile.
I mean, she has been, like, she woke up at 1 a.m. being like, it's my birthday! Oh, my. Jesus. It's like Ramona's goddamn birthday. It lasts for fucking ever.
Now, I've said it before, but Sydney does have some similarities with Ramona. 50 girlfriends she wants at her party and could get and yes. could rope in.
Yes. Oh, she could get them all. She could get 50 girlfriends in a minute. No sweat.
She's super conservative.
Yes. Huge fake tits.
Huge fake tits, bringing home younger guys.
All the time. Yeah, they're very similar. Sometimes I'm like, Sydney, I mean, Ramona, I mean, Sydney.
Exactly. But I do feel Sydney, and tell me more, but I can very much see Ramona's birthday style of 1 month could mirror Sydney's. And again, this is a child in Ramona.
Well, they're similar. Similar in that, like, Ramona has like a 7-year-old child's sensibilities and narcissism. Sydney is a lot funnier and sweeter and affectionate.
Of course.
It's definitely been going on. She's like, it's my birthday week. And it's like, you don't get a birthday week. You get
a day.
You get a day. And then you get like the day of the party and the day of the actual birthday. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
But it's just been going on since like 5 a.m. Like, no, 1 a.m. she woke up and she was like, it's my birthday. And then I was like, go back to sleep. And then 5 a.m. she's like, okay, now it's my birthday.
But she's not wrong, though. She's trying to maximize that day, you know? But at least she's like confined it to this day. And like, even in a pandemic, Ramona is like, oh, she's like, for little old me. And it's, she's like, I'm going to have a quiet year. And she's like clearly having like 20 parties at Mar-a-Lago.
It's insanity. It's insane.
We'll get into Ramona.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's where I'm coming off of, where I'm just like a little shell shocked. And I have to like drive to her summer camp and bring neatly wrapped. Like I can't bring like anything fresh because that's where we're going to get COVID from, fresh cupcakes, I'm sure. Not that I was going to bake a cupcake.
No,
don't get me
no.
wrong. But everything has to be individually wrapped. So I am going to bring some Hostess cupcakes, the gourmet Hostess ding dong cupcakes to her camp.
That's what everyone prefers.
Yeah, if people don't want something fresh from my fucking oven. They want it from like plastic to taste like garbage. That's what they want in their garbage food.
Yes, it's not farm to table. Yeah. I want literally like plastic to mouth.
Me too. And I was like, do I do Little Debbie? And I'm like, no, too nice.
That's right.
Too gourmet. I want to do a step down. I want like Hydrox.
I literally want the kids to be like, is this plastic in my mouth that tastes so good?
Yes. That's what I want. I want them to be like, this is made of no nutrients. This is not a food source.
And we were driving and we passed Taco Bell and I just said aloud, I was like, oh, I haven't been Taco Bell in so long. With like longing.
I haven't had Taco Bell in a dog's age. Like I love some
me
Taco
too.
Bell. And it goes right out of you. It's almost like you didn't eat it.
Danielle, I don't like talking about this.
Oh, because it's poop?
I know, but we're talking about a place I like to patron. And visit for my meals. No, I don't.
Okay, but can I just say?
We all know what you're going to say is what everyone's thinking.
I'm saying it's like no caloric intake. I'm saying it's good for you in that it doesn't stick to your bones. That's what I'm saying. It's good for all of us.
I was thinking the other day, again, I know you always say I do this, which is I'm like, I don't want to hear about this, but then I launch in. But, you know, a lot of people, maybe they just found the podcast or they haven't heard back to the very beginning. But I remember when I was like, I guess I'm just going to sell myself and my dignity is gone based on this podcast.
Yes.
Was when I did tell the story of a nurse for hire. I had to come over and give me an enema.
Yes. That's when it all went out the window.
When my feces got so compacted and it was half in and half out of my butt. And I remember telling that gorgeous story and thinking like, oh, we've crossed a line in the sand that I thought I'd never cross.
Well, I'm surprised you didn't put it in your New York Times bestseller.
I was like, someone was like, no, are there someone was interviewing me and they're like, were there some like kind of what they're thinking is like darker family stories you didn't tell. And I'm like, obviously there are some, but that one.
Yeah, you really were like, you know what? I'm going to still stay on the classy edge of things and not put, I don't want this for like the readers, the literati.
I don't want
to
that.
See.
Not at all.
So you saved that for the less classy version of your book, which is this podcast.
Oh, right. Well, this is the like where you I work material out that fails. This podcast goes right through you, really, when you think about it.
Oh, real quick. Does not stick to your bones.
It is Taco Bell of podcasts.
This is the Taco Bell of podcasts.
Like that. And then it runs right through you. And the next thing you know, you're like, you never want to go back there again. But then you forget.
You forget. And you come back a week later and you're like, I'm going to try this again. Maybe it wasn't what I thought.
Just the cinnamon chips.
I'm just going to have the light version. Maybe I won't even listen to the whole thing. Maybe I'll just listen to the Real Housewives part. No, I find myself listening to the whole thing. And then afterwards you feel sick to your stomach and you got a DM us.
And I like the cycle. Let's not break it ever.
I love the cycle, but I want to talk about your book real quick because we had a sighting this week. Again, Z-Way. God bless Z-Way.
Z-Way. Someone said, I'm loving this narrative that is emerging of Z-Way. It's part publicist. It's part kind of guru. It's yes. Part friend. There's a lot of elements to it.
Yes.
Part just eagle-eyed viewer.
Yes. Just someone standing on top of the world, looking down on the humanity and finding little spots that we need.
Little gems and things yes. I've overlooked as for PR for my book.
And we had a big one this week. Big, big one.
You know, I will say, so, you know, Drew Barrymore beautifully posted a video about the book and that felt very big. And Jennifer Garner beautifully posted something. So I really feel I've had icons, my icons, you know?
Yes, you have.
Received letters from Susan Sarandon, you know, whom I love and
worked who you
for.
Worked for.
She yep. was so gracious and lovely. Considering I wrote something about her workspace and I didn't tell her. And and then I received a letter from my true icon of all time, my favorite actress, as you know her to be, Danielle, of yes. all time. And that's Deborah Winger.
Yes.
I guess I wasn't still searching for Deborah Winger.
No, you weren't. But
documentary plug. But then Danielle, Z-Way spotted. Mm-hmm. A little old picture. And it was actually so subtle in its promotion.
Yes, it was. It wasn't necessarily a promotion. It was more just her living her life with you in it.
And that is the original working girl herself, Miss Melanie Griffith.
Wow.
On a super yacht in Capri, or Capri, however you want to say it. She was there on the yacht reading my book, looking gorgeous.
Stunning. And then, so Z-Way spotted yep. that they tagged your book, the hashtag Casey Wilson, hashtag The Wreckage of My Presence.
Look, yeah, it wasn't a complete, like, direct, you know, come back to me. It was a hashtag Casey Wilson, but I'll fucking take what I get. And then Ms. Melanie Griffith, when I thanked her, wrote right on back on my Instagram. It's for all to see. And it just feels so good, you know?
Yeah, that felt
She's
huge.
She's got, as you said, a head for business.
And a bod for sin.
That's right. And she really does in terms of this book too, you know, that's her real head for business and her body was in the photo, you know, I really got the best of her.
You really did. And speaking of gorgeous women on boats,
uh-oh.
I would like to tout a new little show on HBO Max called The White Lotus.
If you're watching White Lotus, you turn off this podcast now and turn it on.
It is so good. It's Mike White, who I'm a huge fan of.
Mike White, there is no better filmmaker, director, storyteller than Mike White in terms of satire. He is looking at our garbagey human existence and serving it up. And yes, maybe we should write reviews.
I have to say,
I
loved Enlightened. I love Must Love. You're the Jock.
Molly Shannon is his muse. He's just incredible.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
So fucking funny.
And this show, I mean, just stars everywhere you look. And one of my favorites, Jennifer Coolidge, gives a performance.
And getting the role she's been due.
Ugh.
In the same way you watch Schitt's Creek and you're like, you know, some people are like, who's gathering on him? I love her. But most people are like, finally, we get to see this crown jewel do what she can do. And this is the same for Jennifer Coolidge. It is about rich white people who go to a resort in Hawaii and just about the entitlement that comes with that and the staff that's working for them. And it is funny as fuck. Ugh. And so dark.
So dark. Steve Zahn is giving.
Steve Zahn is incredible. Connie Britton. Alexandra Daddario.
Natasha Rothwell. I mean, just incredible.
Natasha Rothwell is. What's going on between her and Jennifer Coolidge in that show is next level.
I want to see just a show with them. Like,
you know, and Murray Bartlett, who runs the place, is giving me Tim Curry Clue vibes. It's so fucking good.
Guys.
You will cry laughing.
The scene on the boat this week.
Because you know this like from line one, but yeah. Jennifer Coolidge is spreading her mom's ashes. And my friend Meg Allen called and she's like, listen, I recommended it to her. And she's like, I have to tell you. Once I say this to you, you will never unsee it. And this involves Housewives. She's like, Jennifer Coolidge's character in White Lotus is Sonya Morgan.
Yes!
It is her put to screen. Like a complex, like beautiful rendering of her, you know?
Yes.
When Jennifer Coolidge is on the boat spreading her mother's ashes and they're in a plastic baggie. And when I know this has to be Jennifer's improv, but maybe it was like, wait, I don't know. But she opens the little baggie, puts her whole face in and goes, bye, mommy.
Oh, my God.
It's you too guys, good.
It's so good. I really need everybody to get eyes on this show.
It's like a high-end Housewives.
It is. But it's so well acted and just.
And Molly Shannon's joining us next week. We haven't seen her in it yet.
I mean, we haven't even gotten to Molly Shannon yet. And it's amazing. Those two like teenage girls, Connie Britton's daughter. Connie Britton? I swear.
Pushing around the furniture in the hotel room.
The pregnant woman.
Oh, she's a star.
Star.
Star. It's just star, 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 star. And there's a lot of people who are like, oh, I've never seen that person before, but they're a star.
Yeah.
David and I have been howling. We're truly howling. And we're like, oh, the people they're making fun of are me.
I want to be the people they're making.
I know. We're going to Hawaii and I'm like, okay, heading to be in White Lotus.
Yeah.
Sad. Very sad.
That's all I want. That's all I want in my dreams. I want to be on White Lotus in real life and as a performer. I don't ever want a TN. That's my problem with White Lotus is I'm like, it's a limited series. And
you know, Mike White, I've been trying to get at him for years to the point of close to stalking. I tried to sit down with his producing partner, then couldn't find the restaurant. It was like half an hour late and sweaty and like, Mike White, project. And then, I mean, he's just the greatest. I mean, Mike White and his father, Danielle, if you'll recall, were on Survivor.
I mean, just he's tackled all areas of this world. And I'm such a fan of his. I'm such an absolute fan of his. He's such a genius. Enlightened was one of my favorite shows there's ever been.
I mean, he wrote School of Rock. He's just so, he's the best. Like, Danielle, I feel like we could be like, maybe like concierge at the White Lotus. You know, like we could be something there that maybe people walk by and we just say like, have fun on the boat tonight.
Yes. Or I could be a waitress. I mean, I've had so much experience. Mike, just put me in the way.
A little something.
A little, throw it our way. Mike, we'd love to have you on the pod. Tit for tat.
Honestly, I feel like we might have better luck getting in one of his projects than him. And we've campaigned for people in the past, but I'm ready to go full throttle here.
Really, please,
you all have so many connections to people.
I know. Who knows Mike White?
Come on, someone knows him.
We just love to just, I don't know. And then there's another person that I'm really into right now that has since passed. So I think that is done. But I just finished.
Well, you know, I think we can have connections to anyone, Danielle.
Oh, yes, you're right. I was just going to say that I just read the Mike Nichols book. Wow, wow, wow. Guys, don't sleep on this one either.
Speaking of things that to read at our age and entitled white men. Go on, yes. Danielle.
I mean, just a story, but he has worked with everyone, including our dear Melanie Griffith. I mean, he just, and the person who wrote the book is this guy, Mark Harris, who is an amazing writer and has written other books that I've loved. And he is also just incredible. He's actually married to Tony Kushner. I mean, talk about a power couple.
Yep. But
that's another book. Everyone, again, this is not the content you are coming here for, but this is where I'm at right now. It's two mics. Two white mics.
Two white mics and a White Lotus.
Yes. It's just, guys. You know,
honestly, that was one of the greatest books I ever read. On the back of the book, like Tina Fey has a quote and it's so perfect. She's like, this is some high-end gossip.
Yes.
That book. And hearing about, I mean, Mike Nichols retooled Annie. Like he had his hand in like every cultural phenomena.
Who knew Annie was a Mike Nichols production?
Who knew that? someone reported, it wasn't Meryl Streep. It was some actress had worked with him and mm-hmm. said that she was having trouble crying in a scene, whatever it was. And that he was directing, he just walked over and put his hand on her head, like a fatherly touch. Yes. And then that's all he needed to do. And I was like, with love to all the comedy directors I've worked with, they're just like, yes. And I'm like out there on my own. And I had a scene to do in the show I just filmed over the pandemic. And I did have to cry. And I employed Mike. I was just like, I'm going to simply imagine Mike Nichols coming over and touching me on the head. And I believe I got somewhere. And then I decided, Danielle, in all my spiritual journeys and work, I am yes. told by the sources I seek out just to find what I want to find, that you can bring those who have passed, including famous people you didn't know, onto your own team of light.
What?
So I have now been praying to Mike Nichols. He didn't want to work with me on this mortal plane.
But in the other plane, he is directing us. You know, it's so funny because I too read a passage that I screen grabbed from the book where they were like, he was a father to so many, like Natalie Portman. Like Natalie Portman literally said, like, he's the only man director that I've worked with that hasn't like had like an icky feeling. Like he truly was like a father figure. And I started crying and I was like, I want Mike Nichols to be my dad. I just was like, I need him to guide me, not even as an actress.
Right.
As
it's
a person.
Beyond that. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I would love to call him to my team if I
could. Honestly, I'm just saying, like, just because people have passed and you have no connection to them, like, you're not their kids.
And I'm happy to give him an ethereal 10%. Like, you know, like, yes. I'm happy.
Yes. Honestly, he might be working more than others.
I'm just going to say,
on
my team. I have a team down here, but I also have a light team down up there. And he is my dead agent and producer.
Honestly, well, I have another dead agent celeb. As you know, I think I was on an airplane drunk, reading Wishful Drinking, Carrie Fisher's yes. biography, and turning, you know, looking inward. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to also call upon Carrie up there. Now, again, she has a lovely daughter and people you'd think would be her first stop in terms of just like organizing and yeah. helping from above. Yeah. Uh-huh. Sure. You know, she had a very full life. But I'm like, if she has any time.
But I do think it's like your agent. It's like they have bigger clients than you, but they can still touch down on you.
They can still call.
Yeah.
Absolutely
they
right,
can
Danielle.
Still make calls for you.
I urge you all to just like pick a celeb that you'd like their help. Oh, Danielle. Well, I think we should take a break and yes. bring on a guest of all guests.
Yes.
Really, a comedian and a voice. We're back.
We're back. Now, this gentleman, when he came on, I so embarrassingly said that I was attracted to him immediately, to his face, looked in his eyes and said, I didn't even say hi. I didn't even say, because we haven't met in the flesh. I just said, I'm very attracted to you, which is embarrassing.
And I was embarrassed for you because I was like, wow, to just speak so baldly and look into someone's eyes.
No, I know. It's real weird.
That's a lot. I said that to my friend, Nicole Shabtai's husband, Doug Mand.
That's even worse.
No, it was worse. But I also feel the same about Matt. So I'm so fine to say that. Guys, we have a guest here. His name is Matt Rogers. He is an actor. He's a writer. He's a host. He is known for Game Show, spelled G-A-Y-M-E. Thank you for that. Shrill. He's the hilarious host of Hot Dog, H-A-U-T-E. He's also the co-host of Lost Culturistas podcast with Bowen Yang. This is going to be a voice of our generation. Then is a voice of our young, not our generation, Danielle. I'll stop
the
right
generation
there.
Two below.
One below for me, Danielle. Two for you, one for me.
You're still riding that millennial boat into the sun, aren't you?
Someone has to be the last one. It's me. And you guys are so mad about that. It's like, I'm sorry that I'm with them.
Okay.
This is so upsetting. It's like someone has to be last. Okay.
You're the last millennial? Is that what you are? Yes. Like the last unicorn?
I absolutely am. I'm 2 months away from the final last millennial. And people are so fucking jealous of that.
You're millennial adjacent.
People I'm looking at right now.
Yeah.
And our guest is nodding in understanding of my position. It's like, I didn't decide when to be born. I didn't decide to straddle two generations and be the voice of both. I don't want that. Please welcome the gorgeous and lovely Matt Rogers.
Hi, everyone. It's so true. We need someone to sort of generationally open the door and keep it open and lead us through. And that should be you. It's always been you.
It's always been?
I'm saying, and also, I just want to say, in terms of comments on appearance, that's what we need. We need people who are going to say what they feel. That's how we good Housewives episode. That's how we get good podcast episodes. I mean, this is...
Thank you.
If you have an instinct, you say it.
Thank you.
And do you have an instinct on Danielle and I's drab gray t-shirts that we've come to you in?
I think you guys look stunning and aspirational as always. You have to understand, for me, the only worthwhile discourse is the Housewives discourse. Yes. And so to be sort of at the Olympics of that discourse, to sort of be topical for a second, you know, just to sort of like let time stamp it for the listeners out there, is huge. And I'm so happy to be here.
Because this is our Olympics right now. We've got Potomac on.
Yeah.
We've got New York, we've got Beverly Hills, and I'm not watching the real Olympics. I saw swim across one lane.
It's too hard for me to watch the Olympics this year because now all I have is Peacock. Like, I don't even have terrestrial television, if you will.
No.
So to figure it the fuck out is too hard for me.
Also, honestly, we all have to just say it. It's on very late because they're happening in Tokyo. So you sort of wake up in the morning and you hear what's gone down.
You hear Piers Morgan's rant on, God.
Did he weigh in on the Simone of it all?
Of course he did.
Of course he did, Matt.
No. And that's what I'm saying. It's so early for this. He's the worst. I said, like, when that happened, I could hear, like, all, like, my parents' generation being like, you know, when I was watching the Olympics, the athletes were tough. Yeah. You know, you can just hear it. And it's like, did you guys watch the Larry Nassar documentary?
Yes.
It was so one of the things that struck me about it was they talked about the Carrie Strug moment where she, like, you know, at the time, like, heroically did that vault and then they were able to place first and win the gold. And she had, like, truly, like, a broken leg or something.
Yes, I remember.
And I was like, the way when they've always framed that to us is like, it was this insane, like, triumph over injury and adversity. Meanwhile, no, that was like very, very, very negligent of them to have her do that. And yes, it was like inspiring and everything, but also like, at what cost? And I just watched a documentary that was about like truly like how depressed these athletes get like during and after their training and after the Olympics. And it's like, how about we think of these people as human beings before machines for just one second?
Just one. Given all that they have gone through, and they've really like turned over their lives to this sport. And also, you know, Danielle and I do identify with them in the way that we've drilled down on Housewives, you know,
yes. Given over.
It's a sport. It's a sport.
It is. And we are, I guess, the commentators.
Or maybe the athletes. I'd like to also think of myself as an athlete in the Housewives Olympics.
This is a muscle you have to exercise.
Oh, you can't just let it go.
Yeah, no. Because here's the thing. Like, there's seasons that are, like, sort of, like, when Dallas is on, it's sort of, like, that's, like, your resting period. Yeah. That's, like, when we're stretching. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, we're stretching, getting ready.
It's an off-season, but still keep it up.
It's an off-season.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Still keeping up, and we'll always keep up. And I want to tell you, I do want to get into the candle of it all with Wendy, but I just, 2 days ago, because I Googled Wendy Osefo candle and found nothing, I was like, well, I guess I'm re-upping on my Tiffany Moon candle. So I ordered 6 more of those.
No.
Yeah. I'm here to buy Housewives shit.
Oh, Casey and I just went online and bought Sonia Morgan things. No, a bunch of Sonia Morgan. And may I tell you, it's a terrific price point. I'm sure it better be.
It's like, I got a sequin gown with a slit up to the crotch for $75. Yeah.
I got a huge red evening gown for like $125. Now,
Evening gown.
That's right. Now, is this bargain basement literally her basement? I believe that they took the Century 21 stock. It's in that terrible, sad little basement in her townhome where all the like trash
is. I feel like
is.
She took like a bellhop's, you know, the thing they push the baggage on from like the Ritz and ran it over to her townhouse and was just like, pile it in.
Yeah, get it on there.
Get it on there. Things were falling off. Yeah.
There's an intern downstairs in the basement and then a bell rings. It's like in Ghostbusters when it's like, we got a call! Like when we order something from Sonia from upstairs rings a bell and is like, we have an order! And then an intern is just like folds it into a bag. And when I tell you that thing was on its way in 2 seconds flat, unlike Robin's hat.
The next morning, Matt, you would not expect it. It said,
they
shipped out. Ordered it at 4 p.m., 9 a.m. the next morning. It said, your item from Sonia Morgan has shipped. And I got a lovely letter from a gal named Regina.
And I would like to speak for Dr. Tiffany Moon and say that I received an email very quickly after, because they said, like, you know, it could be 3 to 4 days. A day and a half later, it said, your Dr. Tiffany Moon candles are on their way. And I ordered different flavors this time, because the first time I got like ketamine because I'm gay and like a Malzapram or whatever. This time I branched out, so I'm getting a whole new one. So I'll let you guys know what I think.
And what did you think of what you did receive?
I loved them.
Really?
Yeah, because you're just going back even for housewives products and paying again unless you genuinely sounds like you loved it.
No, no, no. And I'm going back.
And this is not hashtag ad.
No, 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 no. It's not hashtag ad at all. I would never.
unless they paid you well.
Unless they paid me well. And we are I am doing the summer campaign for Bonobos. So just so you know. I'm not opposed. I'm not opposed. I can be bought.
Hashtag Bonobos.
I absolutely can be bought. And I would like everyone that listens to this podcast to know that. The thing is about these candles is, I wish I had one with me so I could read it to you, but so they're all like, they're named after different drugs because that's her whole thing. She's like, you know, she's an anesthesiologist extraordinaire. And it's like ketamine, and it's like uses like for like chilling after a hot summer day, or like, you know, like for relaxing after your stressful cousin like said something crazy about QAnon.
And that's written on the box or on the candle?
Like, as if it were, like, FDA, like,
oh,
you know,
like
directions
a prescription.
Use.
Wow.
Yes, and so it's kind of clever. And I can imagine her sort of walking into her team of writers and being like, okay, guys, like, what do we have? And, like, they were like, okay, so
her
we
team
thought...
of writers, meaning her two twin daughters?
Yeah, right. I think, I hope they wrote it. I mean, I'm assuming they're brilliant girls.
Yeah, they are.
But they are, like, cleverly put together. And I was like, this gives this product an edge. So when Karen's looking at Wendy's candle and saying, oh, Wendy, like, this is classy. I'm like, yeah, sure, it's a nice looking candle. But two questions. What's the edge? What makes you want to buy it? And two, why isn't it available on this day? Because I don't know if I'll Google Wendy Osefo candle again, like I did the other night.
You've got one Google, and then we need a frictionless experience. One. You've got one window. But for her to not have that candle out when that episode aired is unforgivable.
Unforgivable.
It really is. Like,
maybe she'll line it up with like a launch on the show. I'm assuming there's a plan.
No, but the window has already been missed. Like,
I agree.
The window's gone. Wendy.
Yeah.
Wow.
I felt like she spent more time on the gift bag and that little puff of tissue than she
was a lot of shit
did on the candle.
Before you got to the candle.
Yeah. It's like, here's what I'll put the candle in. And she like ran to paper source.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate.
I did.
You gotta, you know, you gotta sell it with the look. So.
Karen did really make me laugh, because she was just like, what separates your candle from other candles? And she was like, Wendy was like, these are hard questions. Okay.
Wendy was like, I got a paragraph. And it's like, what is that paragraph, Wendy?
Yeah, I would like to hear the paragraph for sure.
The paragraph
business plan. And also, I just like when she asked that one simple question of what sets your candle apart, and Wendy came in like, Karen, I'm so excited. I would like to be the Black Martha Stewart. Here's what I'd like to do. And then she asked her one question about what sets your candle apart. And Wendy sank into the couch and said, I'm afraid of this question. And it's like, Martha Stewart. I mean, Martha Stewart is ready to go to the front lines for her product.
That's right. I mean, Danielle, you said it last week, but I do think it bears repeating. Like, you don't see too much a woman accomplished as she is in so many fields being like, I think I'd actually like to downgrade and go into Campbell's.
Like, it's just not something we're used
see
to.
Every day.
When someone has a PhD and is teaching at a reputable, like, fancy university, for them to downshift.
Because it doesn't seem like she's like so passionate about it.
Well, nothing about her has this. Here's the thing. And she is a brilliant person. And I really appreciate Wendy. And I actually am a Wendy fan. And I know it's been a rocky start. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing about having a home essentials line. If you're going to have a home essentials line, I should think of you. And in some place in my brain, I should also think, yeah, home essentials. I don't think of Wendy Osefo and think home essentials line. So already it's like, I mean, with Karen, it's like, you get it. There's like a brand there. There's like a defined.
La Dame perfume is like you. We all call her La Dame now. Like
Toaster
it is.
Robins is so good. Right. These are things that connect and make sense to us. Robin, baseball hat. Yes.
Kathy Wakili, cannolis. I don't know if anyone remembers Kathy Wakili's cannolis.
I got it. I understand that.
But that made sense.
Iconically, Bethany Frankel is Skinny Girl. I mean, like, I just don't. And I wonder if, like, Wendy, I just think we don't. And especially when she's in the middle of a sort of brand revolution.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's in this sort of, like, moment of
change, transformation.
Revolutionize herself. And I think that's great, but maybe we should wait until that's completed and figured out before we decide I'm going to be a home essentials line.
She's sort of mid-chrysalis, if you will. You know, she hasn't totally become the butterfly. And we want to wait for the butterfly to see the full transformation.
Yeah, like I feel like with Wendy, we could have used a like, here's how you run for office book, or like, here's why the left has a problem book, or just something in that realm. And I know that wouldn't have sold. So it's hard to.
Or how to do it all type of like, because she is. She's a mother.
Like throwing up a briefcase and a pacifier. Like,
I did see she is coming out with a book. I think that she's co-writing with her mother. It's called like Tears of My Mother. Like, and it's like, which I, again, like that title, like I think we've heard it a million times, like Tears of My Father, like Struggle of My Mother. Like, it's like, I get what we're going for here, but we've heard the title. But there is a book coming that's like specific to her and her mother's like journey and like how they've gotten as far as they've gotten, because they're incredibly impressive people. I mean, like, but I just don't think candle.
I mean, to sell that journey, I get that.
Right.
But a candle feels very like, wishy-washy. And the same, even Monique, like Monique had her brand, which I didn't understand, not for lazy moms. Mm-hmm. I still don't understand to this day if it's like, it's okay to be lazy or it's not. But
and it was also like essential oils. And like, I don't understand it quite what she was selling.
But I still loved it and felt it was right.
Right. Because it didn't really make sense, but
not at all. And she did a lot of live podcast shows, which Danielle and I do, but I do at least we're up there like trying to sing and dance. Like it felt like Monique was just like, why aren't people watching me sit on a stool, do a podcast about a product we don't understand?
She also had a spread, which to me felt expensive. We've never had a spread at one of our live podcast shows. She had gift bags for everybody. Like just feels her overhead.
Throwing money in all the wrong ways, but that also is right.
I will say, like, her having a panic attack about ticket sales, I never felt more seen as, like, a C-list comedian than that.
Me too.
You know what I mean? Like, I was like,
her
being like, can I sell out the Regent? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, she's, like, really panicking about whether or not she's going to have enough butts and seats because it would just be humiliating if not.
Maybe there'll be a bum rush at the end of the day.
Yeah, you know, people buy tickets the day of. They buy tickets the day of. That's what they do. And it's just like, I don't know, girl. Sold out right away or not.
Okay,
like,
touch back one more time on Wendy. I don't care for Wendy as a housewife.
I've heard.
I love, guys, I disagree. I feel like she is a perfect housewife this season.
In your heart, Danielle, you want to watch Wendy.
Yes, I do. I am watching a woman who named her breast Happy Ann Ness. I am watching her walk down the street with a gorgeous new bottom. I am watching a woman who,
that is true.
A political commentator and a...
That wants to be seen as a sex symbol.
That wants to be seen as a sex symbol and now has a candle line. What are you talking about? You don't want to watch her. I'm sorry. She's unbelievably watchable.
I would agree that Wendy is a great housewife. I thought she had a great first season. I will say I will agree with you, Casey, I think that the second season is, and I hate to use this word, thirsty. It's really thirsty. And you can really sort of confirm at this point that it's about being on the show.
I'm likening her to Leah in some ways
now. But this is, you guys, when you've had a terrific first season, when you've had a stellar first movie.
She had an okay first season.
She had a great first season.
I thought she had a good first
sequels
season.
Sequels are hard. We all know
that. Well, you, as the writer of Beverly Hills Chihuahua 2, Danielle, who
I
knows
know.
More than you that sequels are hard?
Sequels are hard. Please.
Such empathy for second season housewives.
I do, because I know what it's like to write Beverly Hills Chihuahua 2.
You look at the blank page and think, now what are the dogs going to do?
Yeah, where do they go from here?
I know what Poppy and Chloe did the first season, and it was gold. How am I going to match it? And I understand the point of view that Wendy and Leah are coming in with.
What they're being confronted with.
Yeah, because it's hard to do it again and do it better.
I think that Wendy is doing it. No, I don't think she's doing it better. Here's what I think. I think that Wendy came in and when she had her new titties, which look incredible, by the way.
There's always glow bouncing off them. I'm like, is someone holding a bounce board in front of them?
I was just like, they're oiled up and gorgeous.
Yeah.
And there's for sure there's some sort of ointment on there. I mean, she is really on display in a gorgeous way. And I think she looks phenomenal. And whoever did the work for her should Beautiful. Be commended.
Wonderful.
And deserves accolades.
Or she, the doctor.
Yeah, or I mean, whoever did this.
Well, I guess we actually saw him.
Yeah. But accolades are deserved. I just think she didn't realize she already was doing enough to be watchable this season by having her body transformation, by having the nude interlude party and having the little cupcakes with the titties, and just by hosting that event that sets the stage for Giselle and Karen and like maybe sort of like having weird alignments, she would have been fine. What's bothering me is the thirstiness with which she's coming for Mia, because it's not earned and it's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. It's giving something away about Wendy that I didn't want to know about her.
No.
She's got that anger towards a new woman. And that happens a lot, actually, with second season housewives, is that, you know, they've been kind of embraced or they've had a hard time. And then when they see the next class coming up, they don't like it.
They get shook.
I didn't like the new field hockey girls showing up on there in junior, you know, I don't like
Never
it.
Liked the new field hockey girls.
Oh,
Never
see,
liked
I
them.
I always knew you keep your friends close, you keep your enemies closer. That new girl to me, take her under the goddamn wing, make her stay
that's
close.
What Karen does. That's what Ramona that's me. Does. That's what Vicky does. That's what all the greats do.
The greats yeah. know. Keep them close. Don't pull a Shannon Bedore who gets challenged and nervous. You got to bring them into you. Keep them on your side because you're going to use them eventually.
It's just, she's not playing it correctly, because the thing is, if she really were to watch Mia, Mia is going to have a rough first season, because Mia is going to hang herself, because I think that Mia already has shown weird alliances. Like the weird thing about her being, because I don't think she was honest about her age, which I think is going to bite her in the ass. I don't think that she was honest about her former occupation, which I think is going to, they're not going to let go. Had she watched this show at all, she should know this. She should just come in. And if she was like some sort of like escort that worked at a nice place, like she should have just been honest about that. But we have her coming in and saying, I was a bartender. No, actually, I was a stripper. No, actually, I never took my clothes off. No, actually, it was at a 5-star restaurant.
I was in a ball gown.
And I was in a ball gown. I was like, okay, so if you're going to say I was a stripper, understand that the word stripper sort of denotes the removal of clothing. So for you then to turn around and say, but I was in a ball gown at all times, I was like, this doesn't really make sense. And you said you were a bartender. Like, what is the actual
It was as convoluted as Erica explaining Tom's ejection from the vehicle, but in a Pasadena back road.
Matt's face.
But can I respectfully disagree with you, Matt? I think that's hard information to unfurl to housewives. And I think she, the only way credit for just being like, yeah, this is what I was. Whereas with a lot of the other housewives, we have to dig, and now they're too deep into the lie to even acknowledge that they weren't just a bartender. I like Mia. I felt for her when she was crying about not having her dad in her life. And I'm like, to me, it's quite clear how we got here. And I'm not saying you're judging her, but for Wendy and the other women to put her down, I'm just kind of like, I feel like she's just trying to come clean, but she knows the full story might not be totally accepted. But I'm like, right. I accept the full story and I'm okay with it, Mia.
That's why I feel she should lean into it, because we've all seen, again, housewives history. We can't forget the history. Otherwise, we're doomed to repeat it, which is like housewives history. They're all so judgmental towards strippers. So even though who's better? Like, we're all strippers at this fucking, you know what I mean?
And we're like talking about the housewives. Like, we're not wearing ball gowns.
Exactly. So I just kind of feel
Morgan
like
collection.
she should lean into it and be like, yeah, I was a stripper. That's what I did. I made money. I made good money. I did it.
I know. I just get her nerves about it. It's like
it's a
tough thing to
100%
come clean to those women about. Yeah. I don't feel like she should have reason to feel bad about it. It's just, I don't know. I really like Mia.
I guess I totally understand being nervous to share all that and how it's not necessarily cut and dry. And I do believe there's like complexity in what she's saying, despite the fact that I really don't understand the rubric we're talking about the 5-star restaurant on. Like, are we talking about Yelp? Are you exaggerating a Michelin situation? Like, I don't understand that. But I guess what I'm saying is she should know from watching this show, if she has, which I assume she has, that what these women are going to drag her for is the dishonesty and the inconsistency, not what she did in the past. And if they're going to drag her for being a stripper, that's on them. And she can be on the right side of history, because if Giselle says something fresh about her being a stripper, then Giselle is shitty. But Mia has nothing to like explain or like prove to anyone. She is who she is. And I just think she would have maybe had an easier time had she been a little bit clearer about it was, just because these women love to drag Reed dishonesty.
Although I felt like they kind of let slide her slip about her age in a way that what I like about Potomac is there's a lot going on. Like, even the new girl who came in oddly to Ashley's double baby, second baby shower, who Ascala. Gives her champagne and then Ashley's like, is it good? Like, that would have been a full season on Beverly Hills. And instead of freezing right past that, the girl's like, yeah, it is.
She came to help Robin mail out her hats in Louboutins and then comes to the to invite. That's what I love about the Housewives. To invite a friend you don't know to a baby shower of a person.
It almost makes no bones about, like, this is what it is. Like, I'm going to invite a new friend here. They're like, okay. And then here comes Ascala waltzing in.
What do we think of Ascala? Like, what's our first impression?
She doesn't have it.
No.
Not it's not right behind the eyes. No. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think she's got like the, and this sucks, but I don't think she's got like Housewives star quality where it's like behind the eyes. Ooh. But I would love to be wrong and like all of a sudden smash to her in a confessional looking insane, like, and her having the light in her eyes and Ascala coming out of nowhere. I would love nothing more.
You know, I genuinely felt in the same way, like in New York when we saw Lou's tech person recording them, I thought that was Ascala's job at the warehouse. Like, I was just like, oh, she's a normal like side character that's like, well, these crazy ladies.
I thought it was like maybe her little cousin or something. Or like maybe one of Giselle's daughters helping out.
She sort of reminded me of Portia's sister, Lauren, who like goes in and out. She's not Shamia. Shamia, I think, has star quality.
But Cynthia Bailey's sister, yes.
Yes, Mel. Like, or Mal, sorry. But it's like she in and out. We sort of like don't really register unless she's hiding like the marriage certificate. Like, we're just kind of like, whatever. But she's no Shamia, I would say. She's no like, you know, friend of. She just seemed sort of ancillary to me.
No, I think she's going to be around, though, because did you watch the music video for Candace's Drive Back?
Yeah, no. I did.
Okay, so let's just say, I want to tell you guys about like kind of a horrifying revelation I had.
Go ahead.
But first, let me say, I was watching the music video for Drive Back by Candace, all caps Candace. And I saw Ascala was in the music video along with all the other women. So that makes me feel like, okay, Ascala is going to be a fixture in this season, because otherwise, why would she be in this music video? But what I want to tell you guys, and this is really crazy. I was actually walking out of my room and I was sort of lost in thought, and this crept in. And I don't think I've been so shocked with myself since I was 11 years old and I realized I was gay. I was walking out of my room and I suddenly it hit me that Candace is my favorite housewife. And anytime I'm ever on record about Housewives, I'm like, I don't like Candace. I even went almost as far until I saw the fight and it was like objective. I was like Team Monique all the way last season. And then I saw the fight and I was like, okay, well, that's a little bit more black and white than I thought it would be. She was attacked. But the thing is like, but with Candace, I'm like, I constantly am laughing.
Yeah,
I think that she has like these little quirks that she returns to, like every time she dabs her eye with the corner of a napkin.
Yeah.
I love that. What is her tagline this season? My blessings are many, but my patience is none. her saying at the reunion, she was trespassing. She was an intruder. Like, her vocabulary, I love. I love the fact that she's beat to hell like a drag queen this season for no reason in every scene. There's too much going on.
The mother with a handbag over the head and it's just like, that's mommy.
She survived that. I love that about her. I love the glow up into the new house.
I love her and Chris.
Her husbandger.
Her husbandger. I mean, I just love the words she creates. I love that she's trying to do music and acting. I love that stupid little scene of her shooting the pilot. And like, we saw two seconds of a dropped in acting.
Honestly, I thought she was great. She was like, what's wrong, honey?
Yeah. And she was really asking.
Yes. She wanted to know the answer. She didn't know what the answer would be.
No, and natural.
She was listening.
Dropped
Mike
in.
Mike Nichols, again, not to bring it back, he would be impressed.
He touched her on the head.
Touched her head. You could tell. She was touched on the head by Mike Nichols.
By ghost, metaphorically. The ghost of Mike Nichols.
The ghost of Mike Nichols touched Candace Dillard Bassett's head. And I'm just saying, like, I can't believe it. Because also, like, I'm also ride or die Karen. Like, I love Karen.
Oh, I love Karen.
And I also think, like, when I saw that scene with Candace and Karen, I thought, oh, I'll be team Karen on this. And I left and I was like, I'm so disappointed in Karen.
Wow.
Wow. Matt.
And it's all leading to me being a Candace stan. And it's wow. hard. And I'm starting the journey today.
Matt, wow. You're speaking so passionately. I can't help but now I'm like, I agree.
This is what I'm passionate about.
No, I'm feeling that from you so powerfully.
I will say last week I had a similar revelation where I said, you guys, I'm liking Candace. I don't know if you remember that, Casey.
She's fun.
Ira said the word Candace last week and you guys were like, ugh. But then when you started talking about her, you softened. Yeah. You softened.
You couldn't help it. You did. Damn it. Look, as you know on the show, it just takes one comment to make me see someone entirely differently and embrace them onto my bosom. And I'm feeling that from you, and I thank you for that. And I think you're going to get a lot of people on your side after that gorgeous monologue.
And when people are like, she needs to let the Monique thing go, actually watch it again, because that was crazy. And also remember that, like, Monique and her were friends, so I get her still hanging on to it. And she's not really being like, I'm hanging on to the Monique thing. The Monique thing is still my storyline. What her storyline is she just wants Karen to acknowledge the fact that what happened to her was real. And she wants her to be like, I understand why you're upset and I'm sorry. And Karen couldn't give her that.
She said to Karen, I don't trust you. And Karen said, I respect that.
I respect that.
It's interesting because I do think Candace was provoking Monique when I watched it back. And I do think Karen, I do think it's okay for a friend to just say, like, I did try to stay neutral with these two women. I like that said, again, everything you're saying is making perfect sense. So
I just think, like, and again, if Monique is not on the show, why does Karen need to hang on to a narrative that she's still like has?
Because Karen can't admit she's wrong. Karen has never been able to admit she's wrong. And that is her Achilles heel.
A character game. You're correct.
You're correct, Danielle. And she has to stay the course. It's interesting to watch old housewives referenced in this, like what's going on with Garcelle and Denise and Lisa. Yeah. Like to hang on to something. It just because we so exist in this vacuum of like, these are the only people we know. It's like when they're gone, I kind of like them gone.
But they're part of the world, and the world is what's fun. You know
they're
what I mean?
Like that's right.
And we can't ignore our history, our shared history as the Bravoholics and the ladies.
Of our other aunt that is left. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
When someone's passed, you don't forget them. They live in you.
And they become
also,
on your
these
team
ladies
life.
Return. That's the thing too, is like you have to remember some of these narratives when they exist, some of these women do come back. You know what I mean? And so hello.
And guys, there is talk of Sheree, She by Sheree coming back.
Which I want so badly because Atlanta needs it. Atlanta is a train wreck. And so many of these franchises, I think, are train wrecks right now. Atlanta is one of them. This was not a good season for Atlanta. And I think we need a back
except
to basics.
Except for Bolo.
Bolo was fun. That episode was great. We can agree.
Amazing. I think we need to take a break. I think we need a second to let the ads wash over us whilst we understand that Candace is our new favorite housewife.
It's crazy to think about.
Really? Were you on drugs? I'm just wondering what unlocked it for you. It just
nearly always, but like
but it just came together and synthesized for you.
I can't describe it. It was like I was realizing I was gay again, like I told you. It's this thing that I can't change. I was born this way. When I was born, I was a Candace stan, and it comes to everyone at different points.
Wow, you were born a Candace stan.
I think so. I can change. No. In the nature versus nurture argument, I'm willing to say.
And your first instinct was like, no. I must
reject
this away.
We reject what we don't understand.
We reject what we are. Yeah. And that's actually why I love Housewives, because it is psychological. You know what I mean? It does all track.
Yeah. Wow. This is a deep episode. Maybe our deepest ever.
Insight. I didn't think we'd be going this deep, and so I'm processing that. Let's take a break. And
I knew.
Back with Matt Rogers.
We're back. I would just like to address something that happened last week. And I think Matt wants to talk to me about it. And I would love to just, I've had a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of DMs and tweets and.
I'm sure you did. It was sort of insane.
It was. People really came for me.
We're very upset.
Very upset. Including my husband. Everybody.
I can't imagine he was happy.
No, I told him about it afterwards. And he was like, what have you done?
Now, Matt. You know, what, tell us your take, because I'm wondering if I'm allowed to say the main feedback we've been getting.
I said, I don't like men in tank tops. And it was not, I've had pictures. I would also say that I've been sent so many tank top pictures of men of all ages. Like, I've been 2-year-olds. I'm getting pictures of 2-year-olds in tank tops. It's been a shock.
Yeah, well. And have you hated every single one of them?
No, I love them all.
See, here's the thing. It's like, I don't think you're looking at the right men in tank tops, because as a gay man TM in the world, listen, it actually was a long time for me to be able to feel confident in a tank top. But then when you get there, it's so freeing, because let me tell you something. It's much more comfortable than wearing a t-shirt in heat. And some people don't want to just pop the whole damn top because, you know, that comes with it's a whole emotional and mental
comes with
area.
Another host of issues.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so when you were saying, I don't like men in tank tops, I was like, I agree. I don't like men in tank tops in the way
in the
of
abstract.
Straight men mm-hmm. in tank tops. Like, I don't like just anyone in a tank top. Mm-hmm. But then there are some people who I think look great in them. And I think it is sort of practical,
yeah.
You know?
No, look, I have seen, like you, I've seen the errors of my ways.
I knew you would.
And I don't mean to make you speak for the gay community, Matt, although you seem quite comfortable.
But that's why
that.
I'm here. I am. Yeah. I assume that responsibility.
No, and I love that about you. But I did hear from a lot of gay men that just said, Danielle, you're wrong. Gay yes. men can wear tank tops. And that yes. is just simply
and
was
that
the
is
across
correction.
The board. And you, yeah. you kind of, I think unconsciously, Danielle, you were speaking for straight men.
Yes.
Yes. I think you were too. That was clear to me. Totally.
Okay.
Yes.
And I will say, here's the deal. Yeah. Gay men, little children, and Justin sure. Thoreau can wear tank tops. That's where we
Justin Thoreau, I disagree. I want the whole shirt off.
You want the whole shirt off.
Yeah, I don't love him in a tank top. Because it's always like a black tank off. Top with like a skull and bones and his like big pit bull.
That's true. He also wears too many bracelets for me to accept. Sorry.
He's like a Hot Topic came yes. to life, but in like a cool mainstream leading man way. And I'm like, I don't get
no,
this, but I do.
It's not even bracelets. It's like cuffs. A lot of cuffs. Yeah. A lot of like.
It's like a saber-toothed tiger necklace.
Yeah. Again, people sent me a lot of pictures of him and were like, do you mean Justin Thoreau? And I'm like, I don't know what I mean anymore, you guys. I'm spun out.
It doesn't seem you know what you mean. In a way.
You know, I met him once and I'll tell you what he has that a Scala doesn't have, that twinkle in his eye. He's got that stardom in his eye. Like, you meet him and you're like, oh. You're like, you get it. You ever see a celebrity in the mm-hmm. wild and you're like, oh, I get it.
Oh.
And you really kind of didn't before.
Yeah.
But there's something. He was that.
You know, when I was on SNL, everyone's like, you just wait till JT himself comes and hosts, Justin Timberlake. And I said to anyone that would listen, it wasn't a lot of people listening to me. But I said, look, he ain't going to get me. Not me. Not me. I won't let him in. I don't want it. I'm not interested in it. I don't need it. That might be for you all, but it's not going to be for me.
Right.
Truly 1 second. I was
yeah,
like,
100%.
Oh my God, how wrong I've been. Much like this Candace comment. It's like, oh, I didn't understand. You know, what I would be confronted with and what I would be unable to be. I was powerless.
That yeah. was me. When I ran into Tom Cruise, I have never, and I understand
ran
this is,
into Tom Cruise.
Yes, guys.
Imagine that.
Imagine that. I was in sort of a secluded place I should not have been. So that's where you run into Tom Cruise.
Yeah, you're like
it was a Scientology
tape.
Celebrity Center.
I literally.
You snuck into the Celebrity Center for an event.
I went to Universal for a pitch and somehow. We ended up in the wrong elevator that took me to like a secret floor. I'm not even kidding you. Like, it was like a secret floor of Universal.
I feel like, yeah. you know, the 13th floor is like you can't get off on any, and it's just reserved for Tom and his.
Yes, that's how it was.
Human rights violation of an organization. But you overlook the Scientology of it all completely when you think about Tom.
Well, I was never a big Tom Cruise person. I was never like, oh, Jerry Maguire. He's so, like, I just never was like, Top Gun, sure, whatever. But I didn't like
Who
Tom.
Cares?
I like Goose. Like, these yeah. are where my tastes lie. Okay, guys?
Yeah, for sure. It's all tracking.
Yes. And so we went up the secret elevator. We were just pressing buttons. We didn't know what the fuck we were doing. We had just had a terrific pitch. We lost our minds.
And you just press buttons. And like, just, you get excited. When you have a good pitch, you get excited. You press buttons.
Get me out of here. I just did well. Like,
and we just got lost. And
I can't be here anymore. Yeah.
And I went up to this floor, guys. I'm not even kidding. It was dark. The floor was dark.
It was the Twilight Zone. That's where you went.
It was so strange. There was like no lighting. And all of a sudden.
You saw Shelly coming out of us.
I saw Shelly Miscavige. I walked down a hallway and I saw literally Tom Cruise, my friend and I, in this dark hallway. He glowed in the dark. That's how I know I saw him. He was an alien species. Yeah. And then I don't remember anything else. I'm not even kidding you. I don't remember anything else. And then my friend who I was with, my writing partner, Donna, said to me, "Why did you just say hi to Tom Cruise?" And I said, "I said hi." And she goes, "Yes, you did."
What?
Yes.
So you blacked out.
I blacked out.
You had a Tom Cruise blackout.
And did he respond in kind?
She said, again, no memory of this. She said he smiled.
Of course. That million-dollar smile. Yeah. $20 million smile, really. $100
million. $100
million I mean, and that's
smile.
probably what caused you to black out, because despite ourselves, we all are humans.
Yes, except for Tom Cruise.
And if we were to smiled at by Tom Cruise, when he smiles at a human being, I think it's sort of like there is a power that he has.
I lost space and time.
He paid hundreds of millions of dollars because this is the reaction that people have to him.
There's something different. And guys, I'm not saying he's a good guy or that he's not involved in a terrible cult. I'm just saying that he has that thing.
He has it.
He has that thing. He has what we call that thing Ascala does. It. As in the industry, that's what we
call
it.
And that's how we will separate everyone from now on.
Yeah. And that's really, honestly, can I be real? I am questioning whether Mia has that thing.
Oh, I think she has that thing.
No.
You think she has that thing? Because because here's what I think.
Nah.
I think that Ebony has that thing, but it's not a good mix right now. Like, and I think it's interesting. I think you do need to be helped by your environment.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I think Kathy Hilton obviously has that thing, and she's in the right environment to let it flourish. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think Brashan has that thing.
Yeah.
I do.
Come on now.
I like Brashan. Guys, I'm into Brashan.
I didn't think there was possibly a path forward for Brashan after that first episode when she kind of melted down and the rest of the women were like, "We're literally leaving. This person is insane." I did not think there was a path forward.
No, it was hard to see.
But now I guess there is.
She has that thing. For Housewives, it's a different thing. It's also about the recovery.
Well, fine, Brashan. All right, fine. Okay.
Here. Yes, you're on the cast.
No, half of being a housewife is, can you recover from the misstep? You know what I'm saying?
Right. It was a big challenge.
Okay.
But I thought she made it through.
She had her work cut out for her there.
I think she has it.
I mean, literally, she didn't have a single ally after that.
Like,
it was to the point where she had alienated herself from every goddamn one.
Everyone in Salem.
The crew, the entire city of Salem.
The dead ghost witches of Salem were against her.
Yeah. Mike Nichols wanted to touch her head. He said, I can't help this girl.
Sarah Fisher was like, no.
No, guys, wishful thinking.
Guys, that is a bold housewife. That is the energy we need, especially in a city like New York, which is a snooze right now.
It's, I guess if we're sort of transitioning to New York.
And I like today's flow, which is like, we're actually intermingling the cities and we're bouncing them off each other, because were we to just give airtime to New York, you wouldn't have a ton. So we're having to speak about it globally. Go ahead, Matt.
And here's the deal. I feel like people have been really hard on New York. But here's what I want to say. I felt this week's episode was a return to form, because when they were all coming in to sing that verse on the Christmas song, and it was truly one line.
It did bring us back to one a bit.
I would say that one of the only times I've roared with laughter at this season was watching Leah and Luann at each other's throats, because Leah wanted a cut for the charity single.
Which she wasn't coming out with that word, a cut.
No, she wanted to get paid for it, and it was clearly for charity, and that was from go, they knew it was for charity. She wanted to be quote-unquote protected legally, as if like there was going to be like headhunters after her.
If someone samples the song.
Like she was going to be somehow involved with something nefarious. Meanwhile, yes, it was for money. And when they really went at each other's throats in front in mixed company and then at the end, and then it all ended with, "And what do I want for Christmas? Just you." And they go, "Yay!" And the scene ends. Literally, the whole thing, the whole argument of, well, I just want to be protected. Like, why are you yelling at me? Why are you, you're being defensive. You're being defensive in front of people.
And how much is going to the charity? And Rihanna wears my designs.
And then it ended with, "And what do I want for Christmas? Just you." Wow, great. End of scene. Literally all for that one thing.
"And what do I want for Christmas?" Oh, that was
beautiful.
I screamed. I was like, New York is back. And here's the deal. It's like for the past few weeks, people have been like, "It sucks. It sucks. It sucks." No, they happen to be filming during the election. Like, this was a shitty cultural time and we're reliving it. And people are like, you know, like they're blaming Ebony, quote unquote. It's like, no, I think the reason why viewership is down is probably because this is not particularly a time period or discussion that people want to revisit.
That we want to watch. Right.
No, a pandemic, a really fraught election.
And you know what? On Beverly Hills, we're in that same time period, but we're dealing with Erica and Tom. So that has actually superseded the kind
they're
of cultural
they're not fixated
moment we're
on
in.
It.
No.
Oh, and no, they're not. No,
also, no. I will say New York doesn't have enough people. We've said that a few
million
times, but there's not enough.
They don't.
100%.
Which might be why you're heartily embracing Bershawn.
Yes.
I do like her affirmations in the hotel room. I liked seeing that.
And I also want to say that two things. One is, at first I was on Leah's side about like, I mean, first I was on Luann's side because I was like, this is insane. It's a charity organization. Like, why are you making
but
this about nothing?
We do know
nothing?
Luann's going to give one yes. damn dollar to that charity. That's
but
all they're that's, getting.
That's the I thing. Don't trust Luann and neither should Leah because we know that she is going to pocket money off of this. There is no way she is not. And Leah is saying, "I know you. I see you. And I know what you're going to do. And if you're going to do that shit, I want in on it. So don't fucking try to think you're going to get one off me saying this is charity because you're going to have it be charity just for the Christmas season or something like that. And then the next year, it's all going in your pocket. I see you." And so,
well, you know, afterwards on Watch What Happens Live, they had Luann on.
Ooh.
And with, by the way, with The Bachelor's Tyler Cameron, who is so hot. It's crazy. I'm not really a Bachelor Nation person, but I was like, I'm interested in that. And then so they actually, Andy did a poll. Andy had a lot of polls on that Watch What Happens. And he was like, was it smart or obnoxious for Leah to ask about the contract? And the audience overwhelmingly was like, it was smart. And I was kind of surprised that it was such a landslide. But then I remembered, oh, this is an audience that's watched Luann for years.
Yeah.
And so I think what you guys are saying is right. We really do have to ask the question of, just because if it's streaming going forward, is all that money going to the
in
charity?
In perpetuity.
Exactly.
I thought
Leah
was
like,
being obnoxious, but then I was like, maybe she was being smart.
But Leah went about it wrong.
Totally.
Leah should have just been like, knowing your history, I'm worried about all of us. She was just making it about her. It's like, are you going to pay any of us the same way? And then she tried to make it again, like you said, as though she was worried about the charity suffering or like Luann not being protected. And that's where she had the misstep.
It's again, it's the dishonesty. No. Come out it from an
she's
honest
saying,
angle.
You know, I would cut off my arm for you, but where's my money?
Yeah. Oh, everyone. Right. And I would take a bullet for you. None of these women would protect each other, even if it wasn't about, if someone says something shitty about them, everyone throws everyone under the bus. That's what I love about them. Also, I looked up Billy Stritch because I know we've seen him a bunch. And I'm like, this poor man, like gone from Liza to Lou. Like, it's not
Barbara
a great trail. Yeah. And so I looked
at every
his
branch on the way down.
God. Yes. Yeah. Here's Burt Bacharach.
Until the true ground.
Tour show, Danielle, soon.
God bless. But I did see that he didn't have Lou anywhere on his page. He name dropped every celeb. And this has been updated since COVID because he had like this whole COVID section in his page. And it didn't mention Lou once. And you know that's tough for her.
Have you guys seen Countess Lou live?
No, we haven't. Have you?
I did. So I went, it was a couple years ago. I went with a few friends and it was like watching a zoo with no enclosure. It was like everyone was fully wild and crazy, and she is there. And here's the thing I'll say for Lou. Obviously not a singer, definitely a cabaret star. She was
really
sort of standing there soaking it all in, and I was like, yeah, I get this. And everyone there was so buck wild drunk, myself included. I like fully blacked out and I asked a question.
What did you ask?
So I sort of know her director at the time.
Or like when Danielle met Tom Cruise, do you not remember what you asked?
Oh, okay, I remember this. So basically like I'm there, and I sort of like amble over to the mic and I wave my hand and Ben, her director, I know. And so he like waved to me and was like, yeah, you'll ask a question. So he goes to Lou. Oh my God, Lou, you'll never guess who it is. It's Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas. And she goes, oh, of course, darling, how are you? And I go, hey, Lou, it's so good to see you. And all I could get out, because I hadn't thought about what question I would ask, I was like, what's up with Carol? And she just, and she perfectly deadpan, like broad comedy just goes, who?
Oh!
And the whole crowd just loses it.
Beautiful.
The ladies are prepping her like fucking Joe Biden got prepped to take on Trump. They're like, we're going to give
you a better team than Biden.
She's
a way better team than Biden.
And we're going to give you, because you asked something beautiful and it was four words. Simply, what's up with Carol?
Or what's up with Carol? Who? Audience roars.
Yes.
It was Nichols and May. You know what I mean? It was we obviously are. Mike Nichols had tapped both of our foreheads in that moment. We were ready and primed for the moment.
Can I also say, though, when she revealed that piano, I've never felt so sorry for a musical instrument in my life. I literally like what is that called?
Anthropomorphize.
Because I was like, this poor piano, like what a terrible singer that this piano has to deal with. And I literally thought, a friend of mine used to make a joke about another friend, and I thought that this they used to say it sounds like the piano and this person are fighting and the piano's winning. And I was like,
in a fight to the death,
that piano is not putting Lou on its resume.
No. Mm-hmm.
I will say, though, you do, when you see her in concert, you hear the songs and you do scream at the beginning. Like, it's like Bon Jovi playing Living on a Prayer. It's like she starts to play Chic C'est La Vie and you're like, and you really are. You're just like, you're losing your shit. Also, I will say this. When I saw that show, I happened to be sitting a couple seats over from Molly Shannon, who is like a huge like Housewives fan.
Yep.
And she goes to me, she taps me on the shoulder and she goes, that was a really good question.
God bless.
And then I saw her literally a year and a half later, because we're both on the Vanessa Bayer, the Showtime show that she's doing.
Congratulations, by the way.
Yes, congrats.
Thank you so much. And I said to her, I was like, you'll never remember this, but we met at the Countess Luann and Friends show. And she goes, oh my God, I remember. You asked that really good question. And I was like, I literally said, what's up with Carol?
It's a great question. Great.
I couldn't believe it.
Great.
It's the right question for the right person and the right venue. And that's all we can hope for.
It was so funny, the whole thing. And I'm telling you, the women were wild.
Matt, I have had a flash, and this is truly not to be like unduly flattering, but I'm seeing this as something that's just like a natural progression. And I hope if Andy's listening, which he often does, or friends of his listen, and I hope this doesn't get back to him in a negative way. Because I don't mean this in a negative way. I just mean we don't know where the road takes us all career-wise, and maybe Andy moves on to be Mike Nichols. You know, we don't know.
Are you going to say what I think you're going to say? This is psycho.
I do think, in talking to you, and not just because of your one question with Carol,
which we can all agree was an amazing question.
Amazing. Universal.
No one will take that from you.
No one will take that from you.
Even though at first I didn't think it was.
And you know what? It's so simple. It's not even, it's a half a question, but still brilliant.
That's right.
What's up with Carol? At the time I asked it was like a year past the expiration date.
And can I ask you, please, for your La Culturistas podcast, if you could make t-shirts that just say what's up with Carol?
Yeah, merch that I did on for a thing I did on this show for that show.
And I, like Leah, will ask you, where's my cut? Because
of course. But what's up with Carol?
That is should Andy ever, on his own terms, of course, never, you know, pushed out by fans, because he can do that till the day he passes, which, knock on wood, I do think, should the reins be turned over you would be incredible at that job.
This is what I would say. It actually is my dream job, and in a way that I think Andy should be flattered by, because I actually love him so much.
Well, because he's set the bar and the template and shown us what we could do and be.
Right, right. And I would say, like, I have so much love and respect for him. I love that man so much. I love that he brings so much fun and energy to that position. And I think he's also doing so much, because not only does he have to like curate these shows and produce the shows, but he also has to like make that show fun every night. And, you know, sometimes he gets some rough guests.
Yeah. He also has to field fucking texts and calls from those goddamn housewives day and night. That's a whole job unto itself.
And watch cuts of the show. Like, he's dealing with raw footage. Like, he's dealing with just things we don't even know about.
And Housewives would be enough, but he's got to watch all the Below Decks. I mean, like, all the summer houses.
Married to Medicine. I mean, like,
you guys
know all these things.
Kardashians he's cramming on 2 weeks' notice.
If Andy put his hand on my head, I would cry. If he just put his hand right there.
It's my dream to just be on Watch What Happens Live. Like, both my best friends. So my best friends are Bowen Yang and Joel Kim Booster, and they were both on. And they, so that when Joel was on, he was on with Kenya Moore. Wow. And when Bowen was on, he was on with Monique Samuels during the big, like, it was her Watch What Happens Live appearance during all that.
Wow.
And so I'm like, I feel like I have to go. And I really, if I ever get on, I would like to be with an iconic housewife. I don't want to be on with like anyone that's not
that I can do so much, but I am gonna put in an email for you, because you belong on there. It's already happened. It's one of those things, you know what I mean? Like, we're already it's
I know
happened.
It's my destiny.
It is your destiny, and it's our destiny to watch it. It's already occurred.
I think he and I will click.
I can't believe you haven't already.
I know.
Like, it does feel strange.
Yeah.
Well, it's only now in my, this is obnoxious, but it's only now in my like career, I guess, that I'm having things to like promote. Like, I have like an animated show on Netflix coming out, and then the Showtime show next year. So it's like things are starting to happen where I'm like positioning myself to be on Watch What Happens Live, and then I can die.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe. I don't need to have career success. No. I need to be on Watch What Happens Live once. Then we're good.
Yeah. Then we are good.
Yeah, it's all down. It will be downhill from there. It's your Olympics, and just like the Olympic athletes sort of like are depressed when the training is over.
Right.
You've been training your whole life for this, and now when it's over, that.
Without question. And it's just like, I just hope that when I do eventually get on there, it's not like the stretching off-season Dallas thing. Because we can definitely go hard in the paint for Dallas. I mean, sometimes they do offer some good stuff, but like, it's whenever there's like a golden age, it's like, God, you got to get it.
Okay, let me give you one suggestion. Sometimes they'll be like, can you do this date? And they'll be like, this is a Below Deck night. And I will say, oh my God, I can't. Because you want to set yourself up to succeed. And don't get worried that they won't ask for another date.
That's a power move, though. You're Casey Rose Wilson. You can be like, no. I Matt Rogers, at being asked on my first time.
I
like,
think
I can't
you
say
can
no.
ask if there's various times.
I think you could be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm supposed to shoot that night, but I will get out of it. I will be there, but what about, is there any other date?
But I also, you could position yourself to be like, I'm such a Housewives fan that you should have Beyond where there's a Housewife so I can really fawn over this person. Like, you could also say, like, it's in your best interest to have me on during this.
100%. I want to be on there when they have Jen Shah.
Wow. That's a get.
See, I want to be on there when they have like one of the Salt Lake Housewives when we have it again. I fucking love Salt Lake.
Oh,
oh my God. Salt Lake was so good. Look at, I'm like literally energized now. Thinking about what the second season of Salt Lake would be, I would be on with any of them. I'd be on with Lisa Barlow, who I ride for Lisa Barlow.
Wow.
I would be on with Meredith Marks. I bought the Brooks Marks tracksuit. Like I said, I'm down to buy the products, and when I saw Brooks Marks had a tracksuit, I couldn't get online fast enough.
Do you like the quality?
It's terrible.
I'm concerned about washing it because it's like sort of weird. It's like hand washing.
No, can I tell you what it felt like to me as I wore it? I felt it was like an Old Navy. Now, here's the thing about Old Navy, which I buy my child and myself things from it. Old Navy looks great. One wash, it feels like cardboard.
And I feel the same counterintuitively about Madewell.
Yeah, I mean, we're not talking about like places you go buy things because
they're not
of the way
pieces.
That they're made.
They're not for good.
I did a photo shoot in the Brooks Marks tracksuit.
You look gorgeous.
So
you look gorgeous.
This is I sort of just like gave you the same pose like again and again.
Yeah, you got down on the ground.
I got down on the ground. I sort of bit my thumb. You know what I mean?
I like the last one, hands in pockets.
Oof.
There we go. And it's all really the same. It's that sort of like a I'm a bro pose. And then I actually changed my hat just to sort of like shake it up. I wore a blue hat.
Oh, you put your hat backwards.
Yes. You know what? The photo shoot is very Chet Hanks.
Very Chet Hanks, and that actually wasn't what I was going for, but to know I achieved that is huge. And I will say, I think the fact that I gave Chet Hanks might be why Brooks Marks got in my DMs about it.
Whoa! Huge.
Wow, he got his Chet vibes, and he said, I gotta get my fingers a scampering and get to you.
He got in my DMs, and he goes, thank you so much for the support. No one realizes how hard it is to do this.
No one. I was like, not one person.
Sorry, I don't think it was hard. I'm so sorry.
I'm only not saying anything because I'm strangling myself.
Never seen someone more privileged and set up to succeed than that.
No one has been more set up to succeed for one child. Sweatsuit. One sweatsuit.
I like FaceTimed Bowen when I was wearing it, and he was like, ugh, no. He was like, you shouldn't have done that. He was like actually angry with me in like a capitalist sense. He was like, this is not where you should put your money. And I was like, well, I don't know. My instinct first and foremost is to support housewives products, and I do consider
because without
this.
You they have nothing.
Without all of us,
without the three of us, we are half of their budget,
but they are doing a lot for us,
truly.
Yeah.
And so when I, a loyal consumer, log on and I Google Wendy Osefo candle, and there's not only is there no website to buy them, but there's only one article about it.
Dare.
I was like,
and that's Vulture's recap.
Zen Wen.
That I don't like when they all go Zen too. Like it was a mistake with what's her name on Dallas, Leanne. Like this, I'm just like, ooh.
Be yourself.
The Deandra, like the shaman of it all. Yeah, that was it. I did like that.
That shaman though was a real that hairdresser shaman. The worst hair
wonderful.
And the worst shaman.
I love him.
Like, is the boxing coach a cast member?
I hate him.
I love him,
guys. Martin. Martin has got to go. That marble mouth fucking, I can't with Martin,
like, it's
guys.
A pandemic. What are a couple like sets we can just keep returning to?
I hate Martin.
The shaman set.
And the boxing ring is where
No.
They love that boxing ring. Yeah, honestly, he's a little too much for me. But I like that he is getting Sonya. His interactions with Sonya, I'm like, this feels like a cartoon, first of all. Like her and her pigtails, like, well, that's why I'm a comedian.
You're too good for that. You gotta make sure they know where you're abusing you. I'm like, I cannot. It's like the
that marble mouth.
I just can't, guys.
Also, it's sort of like it's like a weird like remember on Mr. Rogers, like when they would sort of all the different characters would like talk to the train. It's like they all have a different relationship with Martin. It's just like, oh hey Martin. It's like, what's going on? You know what I mean? He's like a character in the world that's just like they all have a relationship somehow, except Ramona and Luann, because why would they ever go to that
choice,
boxing ring?
That's Leah's boxing instructor, and then someone was like, should we just use him? Because we're testing
should
him.
We just
we're,
go?
We're COVID testing him, like.
Yeah.
He's just he's what we call in the sitcom world is a go-to. And
right.
I just can't with this go-to.
Getting us informationally from scene to scene.
Yeah, he's just a person. They could be, I'd rather them just talk to themselves in the mirror. I appreciate that so much.
Or like
much
when they
more.
Talk to their dogs when they're packing.
Yes, happy to talk to a dog while packing. Fine with that.
I love that. Now, the producers must just be like, okay, Harry Hamlin won't sit there while you're packing. Fine. Who else will? She's like, definitely not Delilah and the other one. And they're like, fine.
No.
Talk to that dog.
Now, I have a question, speaking of Beverly Hills, because there's no new show this week. But I do want to ask you where you're at with both the Erica Girardi Jane of it all and also the Crystal and Sutton of it all, our two biggest controversies.
One thing before you start mad is like, you know, we've gotten a lot of feedback that Erica, we were a little, went too easy on her about tonally, you know, and her friends doing a kind of a curated thing about It's Expensive to Be Me, and certainly her online presence is quite disturbing. I did see a photo of her in Daily Mail yesterday in a Versace robe going to her front gate and picking up a Lucifer's pizza box and a liter of pure regular Coke.
Oh, I respect that.
Oh no.
It's so hard watching her crouch. I don't know that I've seen something this dark in a long time.
I was just about to be like, Well, after watching the documentary, I have to come around and say that I do think she bears some responsibility for this. But then hearing that she crouched down for Lucifer's in a regular Coke, my heart is rebroken for her. And I'm like, I don't know.
And the leader of Coke was so
a leader.
Upsetting.
The leader.
Not even like a, you know, what do you call it?
She's drinking that right from the bottle. She ain't pouring it in the
no
cup.
No, she can't afford it.
Nope. She's like, I'm going to make this spread out. I'm going to take this Coke glass.
Yeah, let me straighten my tie before I say this. So basically, with Erica Jane, I have been pretty much on her side until this last episode when I felt it felt false to me for the first time. When she sat down and was like talking about the car accident and the broken ankle and the seemingly
12 hours in the
numerous revelations that I think we live in such a sensitive media time right now that we would have heard something about some of this stuff. Mm. So it starts to feel a little weird to me. That being said, I don't think she's capable of acting well enough for those emotions to have been fake, like her crying during the Kyle conversation. But I also do believe, after watching the documentary, that she is making a big mistake, at least in terms of optics, of not thinking about the people who have really been victimized by what Tom did, because she is not one of them. And when you do watch the documentary, which, by the way, is brutal and horrible, and the way that Danielle Staub came out first and sauntered over to the chair like she was some credible witness, and
in
that's
the cold open,
how they started it.
Yeah.
In the cold open.
But it takes a 180 in such an extreme way.
It's not a good documentary. And I also was like, Sunny Hostin, what are you doing on this? This makes you look so bad. I was like, I really didn't like that she did that as a fan of The View. But I was just like, when you hear from the victims and you hear just how much they suffered and just how shitty this guy was.
And how he strung them
along.
It
does feel...
It does feel dark.
He was a pathological liar and a huge, you know, I mean, he's pathological. He's maybe even a sociopath.
Okay, but to what do you say? And I love to use this employ the Andy technique of like, now what do this is, these are thought theories. What do you say to those that would say to you, like, we see how terrible Tom was to the victims. Was he not abusing Erica in the same way?
I think that their relationship obviously was not great, and I feel badly for her that she had a difficult marriage. But I also think, you know, I think two things can be true. I think, like, she cannot have known everything, and I also think it's her responsibility now to get as much of that money back as possible to the people who need it.
Totally. And tonally, she is in control of tonally how she is, you know, moving forward right now.
Yeah, right now she can only see herself. And I think that that's obviously revealing of a major character flaw. Do I think she is a criminal and should go to prison?
I do not believe
so. No,
I
don't think so. But do I think that she doesn't look good out of all this?
I don't know, because if you bear a responsibility, like, she used all that money, I don't know.
But I don't think she knew it was coming. I think the money truck poured out money for 20 years. Why wouldn't it still be pouring? My personal thing. She never asked. Why would she start?
But the thing that the documentary sort of exposed that I was sort of like, yeah, honestly, that is a big question. And if this is her life every single day, you do ask these questions. Your husband is a class action lawyer. How does it make sense that you have that much money?
Well, when you think, though, that, like, there was a basis of him and Aaron Brockovich, and that's a windfall. Like, his job is to get windfalls for victims that deserve it. So I could see in her mind, she's just like, you know, like, I don't know how much money lawyers make. I don't know. Right.
I think that one of the things about Erica that I love is that she's so much smarter than you think. And I think that I've always loved her because, like, I think when you look at her on face value, and this is why I felt a little bit bad for her when the news started breaking, is because they were like looking at her like this, like, dumb Barbie who, like, was like this, like, dumb, like, you know, I think they tried to frame her as like an Anna Nicole Smith type that was like a gold digger, whatever, in the media. And I was like, yeah, but if you watch the show, you know that she is, like, shrewd and often, like, you know, a fun personality to watch. And I do believe in some way, like, an onstage talent, like, in some fashion.
Specifically.
So, and I feel like that was all getting erased. But then it's just like, revealing that I think that she doesn't really have a consideration for other people. And she has this like shark-like mentality, yes, of like, I'm going to make it. And when I lose it all, it's about me.
That's what's coming out now. It feels, and I know we haven't heard her like full story as she puts it, but to me, the timeline is just so confusing and troubling. Like, I really would like to get some note cards up and some pins on a board and some string and some photos. And just generally, I'm not being funny, like, just understand it a bit better. Because I'm very confused on some dates and the timeline and why she's defending Tom and being like, I'm so worried he has dementia. That feels self-serving.
And also the dementia thing is not serving either of them because he might be having dementia now.
But this has been going on a long fucking time.
When you hear those phone calls to those people, it's like, I'm going to get you your money, blah, blah, blah. He knows what he's doing at that moment.
Yeah. Totally.
Also, like, by her pushing a dementia narrative for him, I think that she might think that she's helping them both. But actually, all that does is turn everyone's eyes to her. Because if we can't get answers from him, because you're saying he's unable to provide those answers, then you're the one that we're going to look at. And as we saw in that shitty documentary, her name is on a lot of it. I mean, her name is on a lot of the papers. Like,
and that's why she might go to jail.
Really?
It's hard.
I think the dementia thing, she thinks in her head, it's going to make her look like, even though Tom screwed me over, I'm still a good person because I care about him as like a human on a cellular level. But it's backfiring.
Yeah.
And then she's like, but I'll still say some bad stuff about him to make it all work. Like, I'll just still throw out that he cheated and this and that. Like, it's a scrambled eggs. It's a mess. It's tossed salad and scrambled eggs, as you know, the Frasier theme song taught 100%. Us.
And her narrative, it doesn't entirely. I just don't think it's smart. And then the more I'm watching the show and the more I'm hearing about what the deal is, I'm like, I actually can't believe that she is bold enough to get on this reality show and say all this stuff because it's incriminating.
But I wonder if she needs a reality show for money. Like, she needs. That's the problem. It's this double-edged sword because she needs for her brand to continue because after this, she's going to have nothing. So she does need to pocket something to just live her life. You know what I mean? So she needs this show.
Do you think they'll have her back next season?
Yeah, I think they want her because this is a storyline.
I think we'll see what pans out.
I agree with you. I think if it's really bad, they're going to have to like separate themselves from it. But anyway, and what was the second Beverly Hills question?
I just, where are you on Sutton and Crystal?
I'm a Sutton. I really like Sutton. I can't take credit for that. There was someone who called in to watch What Happens Live and said, hey girl, I'm a Sutton. And they all stopped and laughed about that for a minute. And I was like, I love that. So credit due to that person that called in on Watch What Happens Live.
Whoever you are, God
you're
bless
a hero.
You.
Credit no one on this show because we're always like, that person that said that.
I'm a Sutton, but I will say I thought the Crystal Sutton narrative was a weird one because I was with Crystal immediately when Sutton was like, I don't want to discuss race. That's what we're not going to do. I was just like,
Southern women are not racist. And we've had to carry that burden for years.
When I thought Crystal was giving her way too much when she was like, no, I understand. Like, your type of person does have stereotypes, of course. And then almost like allowing her to think they were on equal footing at all. Like, she's an Asian woman, like in the year of our Lord 2021. God knows she's been through some shit and she should not even make Sutton think they live in equal existence. But she was being respectful and polite, I think. So with that whole situation, I was like, I'll never be Team Sutton on this, despite the fact that I do appreciate like what she is and how she exists in the world and her.
Yes, I'm starting to appreciate more of who she is for us as a housewife and the care and what she's bringing.
She dresses
us
like a fake Christmas tree, like a fun Christmas tree. You get to be different this year.
I feel like we're not saying enough how badly she
dresses. Horrible.
I feel like it's not being said enough. Like, I feel like we're just kind of accepting like she's got money and she's in this like book
her
of fashions. Yet what we're seeing with our eyes tells me quite a different story. It really is money can't buy you class.
100%. I think that she is a fashion girl and I think she likes fashion, but unfortunately, I don't think the fashion that she likes looks good on her. So I think that she is not.
So she likes fashion, but fashion doesn't
exactly.
like her.
It's like all her outfits are sort of wearing her, which is really what you don't want.
It's like the piano in Lou.
In general, like, I like that about her. Like, I like for me as a viewer that she doesn't look good. And ultimately, like, with Crystal and Sutton, I was 100% Team Crystal until I feel like Crystal was sort of framing that
We took
she
it
took
a bit
it a
far.
Little far with the word violate, and I like that she was unapologetic about using that word. But
oh, I loved it.
Yeah, she didn't back down, which is really the only option.
No, and I loved the culmination and the fight at Lisa Rinna's Harry Bolognese party at Garcelle's birthday. I love referring to it as Lisa Rinna's Harry Hamlin Bolognese party for Garcelle's birthday. That to me is
it was
mwah, chef's kiss. Who is hunk featuring who is hunky dory? We had everything we wanted.
We had everything we needed there.
Ending in the leather pants, loved it. Like peak housewives. And then I do believe after that, Crystal will look back on it and be like, yeah, I didn't play that exactly right. But ultimately, I think they're both winners from it.
Beautiful, wow. Matt. You know, I just got a call from someone I work with and they're like, hey, I don't think you need to do this. You know, if you're busy, but like the New York Times, they're doing a little piece on Kathy Hilton. Like I'm we're just probably going to pass. I said, how fucking
no, I'd like to be involved.
You.
Yeah.
I said, yes. I consider myself humbly to be one of the authorities on Kathy Hilton and I will be speaking on her behalf. Thank you.
Yeah.
So in the old gray lady, I will put my words on record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a gift.
She's a gift and a star that we didn't. I mean, we've all said it, but we didn't know we needed. We didn't know we had her. She's been hiding her light under a bushel all these years. Finally, like roaming free. She's a bigger star than Nikki and Paris together.
I'm so glad we've learned what we were learning about Paris.
Bigger.
We're getting. It just feels so good. It feels like a release. Like we've taken our Spanx off and now we're like, oh, finally.
We're free. And I feel like, you know what's the best part of it all is the other night, my friend Patrick is watching Housewives from the beginning of Beverly Hills, and he just got to
Thank
Amsterdam.
Thank you, Patrick.
And so yeah, and it's so, it, you know what? We were in Palm Springs hungover, and I turned on the first episode. We were sharing a room, and I turned on the first episode of Beverly Hills, and he laid eyes on Kathy Hilton and was like, what's this show? I have to watch it. And he's obsessed. And so I converted someone.
So Kathy Hilton is causing people to work backwards. Similarly with my friend Carolina, shout out, starting New York from the beginning, starting Beverly Hills from the beginning. And these are, I love this. You're not just trying to like join us now and say you've been with us. You want the history and you're going to take your time to learn the history.
You want the text.
And he's also watching New York from the beginning, but he's now at the Amsterdam part. And there's the part where like Kim is obviously like being so crazy at that dinner with Lisa Rinna where she throws the glass. And at one point, Kim turns to Kyle and she says, Kathy would never do this. She would be in my corner like a real sister. And when you imagine how many times they've talked about Kathy Hilton and how many times they've referenced her, and then we see her this season and we get to know her and we realize that she's a woman wearing a t-shirt that says girls can do anything, drinking a Red Bull at 1:30 in the morning, howling at her own dog, asking who is Hunky Dory. The fact that they ever lifted her up in our eyes, the viewers, as an authority figure and as like the model sister is so funny and illuminating. I can't believe this is who they've been talking about. She can't spell her own name. And I love it.
Hating Kyle to even give that energy to anything.
It is
like she's so daffy. Kathy Hilton. You
utter
know what
perfection.
I mean? She's such
utter perfection.
I just see her tottering around her garden in slippers. You know what I mean? Just talking to no one. Like a gardener is there, but maybe he's not. You know what I mean? Like just talking at people.
It's the graphic tees for me. The ones that say girls can do anything. Kindness first. She's kindness. Like I just like.
She's never dressed up. Never in like hair and makeup. I mean.
But she's like, I feel these statements. Let me wear them.
She thinks that these are important things to project.
On her platform. She's like, everyone has a sphere of influence.
She goes, I don't know what the platform is. I don't know what network it's on. But I know that people can benefit from the message girls
can
do. It's
so cute. But it's so off, like in a great way. The opposite way that Melania's Be Best campaign, which to me and no one's talking about enough about that slogan. We brushed by it the same way we did Michael Douglas getting throat cancer from eating women out. There are just some cultural touchstones that we didn't spend enough time on.
No, you're right. You're right. You're right.
No, we didn't have time to spend. There was too much going on. We didn't have time to spend on this.
I've been eating too many women out and I love my family. And we just were like, great. Thank you for that.
You guys, if your spouse went to the media and said, I have cancer in my throat because I ate too much dick or penis. How would you go back to that marriage?
How would you go back out into the world? Just lay your head next to them. Just knowing that that's, I feel like, I don't know.
Saying to
I
the
don't
world.
Know the answer. I just.
And I still love him and would offer up my own. only to riddle him further.
My wife's vagina is radioactive, basically.
And to know that his wife is Catherine Zeta is, I love it.
I never blames Catherine.
It was a cumulative thing. It was Michael Douglas had eaten so much pussy over time that he was just like, eventually I get to the place where, of course, your throat's right. going to be fucked off. Trust me, after all the cunnilingus I've done in my Hollywood career, I'm a Douglas. I'm the son of Kirk Douglas. I'm munching it.
It's like one cigarette isn't gonna kill you, but millions of cigarettes it's gonna kill you.
If anything, it was a brag. It really was. It was just like, and obviously, you know, I hope he's doing well on the cancer front.
And you guys, with anything, moderation.
That's right.
You know, if you're going to eat puss, moderation.
I don't know. Maybe Catherine Zeta appreciates this sort of commitment.
In some way, it makes me horny. I'm like, wow, like you got cancer from eating.
Especially
puss.
When you think about young Michael Douglas, he was hot. Like Michael Douglas in like Fatal Attraction and like way back in the day, like he could absolutely
Romancing the Stone.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. Oh wow.
Yeah.
Oof.
War of the Roses, underrated, one of the great movies.
Yeah, anything from that period.
Beautiful.
He was hot.
You know, Matt Rogers, we have to wrap up.
It's so heartbreaking.
And I'm so sad to do so because I really feel we only scratched the surface.
For there to be no new Beverly Hills this week really broke my heart, but I feel like we touched on it in a way that is good.
No, when I saw that email go out that was like, we just have to tell Matt, you know, there's only two. I felt sad, you know, but I feel like this can be like your Watch What Happens Live. This is training. It's like you don't have a ton to work with, but you're going to hit a home run.
Listen, this was a highlight of probably my whole year.
Wow.
I'm going to say.
Wow.
You guys are like truly the icons of Housewives discourse. And so to be able to be given the opportunity to be here is something that I do not take lightly or for granted. Okay. And just understand that.
And you didn't. You really, you came to play.
Thank you. I hope we didn't disappoint because you were a great guest.
No, this was like I said, a highlight of, let's say, my life. But you can listen to Las Culturistas with me and Bowen Yang. We release every episode comes out on Wednesday. Our new episodes come out on Wednesday.
Oh, so you have a certain date you release your podcast.
Novel.
We're pretty scattershot over here.
We struggle with that.
I mean, well, you guys, it doesn't really matter. They'll come regardless of when it is. So that's just like the power that has.
If you build it.
I also host this podcast called HBO Max Movie Club, which is I just talk about and shoot the shit about movies on the HBO Max platform. That comes out every 2 weeks on Mondays.
Is this sponsored by HBO Max?
It is sponsored by HBO Max.
I love it.
Do you have a way to get us onto White Lotus?
I will say, we didn't even get to talk about that, my obsession. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put my own safety mask on and get myself on White Lotus first before I can help you guys, okay? I heard there is a second season coming, so that's some tea. I cannot possibly confirm or deny.
I don't want to know, but are the same people back at the resort? Maybe this is opening up a new cast of characters.
I don't know, but like, I'm there. Okay. I'm there because I'm fully obsessed.
And you're going to be starring in Vanessa Bayer's new show, which is coming out soon, which is run by one of my best friends of all time, Jesse Klein. And
she's such a genius. I mean, I can't believe.
Paul James, who has been a guest a million times with us and a dear friend, is also
Paul's
on there.
Paul's incredible. I saw him at the gym the other day. He's so fucking hot.
Oh, he's so hot.
But Molly Shannon is on it. Like Vanessa Bayer, obviously. When you see Vanessa in this show, you're going to fucking die. She's
the best. We love Vanessa so much. She's so funny. Her impressions aren't impressions. She channels.
Did you see her Lisa Barlow on Watch What Happens Live?
Oh my God.
I texted her. I was like, this was a tour de force. Tour de force.
No, I want her to get Emmys for those appearances on Watch What Happens Live. Like, can she get an Emmy for a talk show appearance? Is that possible?
We need to campaign for the category to be created so that we can campaign.
I would like that.
Yeah, like Melissa Leo. Just like, why can't we ask you?
Consider.
Guys, Matt Rogers, where can we find you on social media?
It's at Matt Rogers, though, on Instagram. I am no longer on Twitter because they kicked me off, and I don't know why. There was like some problem with it, but I will say my last tweet ever was the quote, "There's something magical about my internship, Sonia Morgan." It's the last tweet I ever tweeted.
You always go out
That's
with
perfect
with a beautiful ending, and that'll be your last thought here until we can have you back soon. Thank you, Matt Rogers.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Matt.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Caitlin, Renee, everyone at Earwolf. Thank you, Danielle.
Thanks to Matt. Thanks to Kate. Thanks to everybody. Thanks to Renee. Thanks to me. Thanks to my dad. Thanks to my mom.
And happy birthday, Sydney.
Happy birthday, Sydney.